The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open today to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, we continue our thoughts concerning Paul's reproof due to the lack of devotion. So find 1 Corinthians 6. We'll pick up in verse number 9, just after a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I come now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for your great love wherewith you loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. I'm thankful for your mighty redemption through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask now for the grace of God to help me preach. Stir up our hearts in these days. And in Jesus' name, amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 6, we continue looking at this warning against deception. We left off speaking about that call to reality. Be not deceived, right there in the middle of the verse. And we gave the illustration of the Nile River flowing northward overall, but it turns west and it turns south. It heads northwest, again south. But the overall direction of the river is toward the north. The various twists and turns are not the normal nor the general direction, but only temporary aberrations in the flow of the river. And the same thing is true of the genuine believer. And we took that illustration from Brother John Phillips in his commentary, and I did not give credit there last time. Now, in the remainder of this verse, down through verse number 10, I believe we see a call to righteousness. This awful list is, in fact, the former conversation, the former lifestyle of the saints who were gathered together by the Lord as the church in Corinth. So the Lord is issuing the warning here, lest his people should live an unrighteous life and be characterized by unrighteousness. Those whose lives bear only the fruits of continual unrighteousness, they do not know the Lord. Verse 11 declares the fact where we read, "And such were some of you." The fact that these type individuals had been brought together as a local church is a most convincing demonstration of the power of the gospel for this day and time. It reminds us that God can still save to the uttermost those that he finds in the guttermost positions. Paul gives us a list of the unrighteous who shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and they should be examined and considered. And so we see, first of all, sinners with a depraved morality. We find in verse 9, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." This, of course, are unmarried persons who engage in intimate relations before marriage. It is whoremongers, and it includes the awful, perverted business and sin of pornography. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. Here is a worshiper of images, of false gods. But let me say, we have in our own day many idols, one of which is materialism, another of which is self. We live in a social media crazed and consumed world where men, women, teenagers, boys, and girls are worshiping self, nor adulterers. Here are married persons who break their marriage vows by being unfaithful, nor effeminate. These are those who are soft and allow sodomites to abuse them. They would be men or boys who act, look, talk, and walk like women. Then abusers of themselves with mankind would include the sodomites, men with men, women with women, working that which is unseemly, engaging in indecent, immoral, unlawful, and abominable sexual activities, one with another. Such sin is against the law of God, it is against the laws of decency, and it is against the laws of nature. But in verse 10, we see sinners with a depraved mentality. Their morals are wrong in verse 9. Their minds are wrong in verse 10. Thieves. Thieves are those guilty of stealing from another, whether it be goods, belongings, what have you, stealing. Thieves. They will not inherit the kingdom of God, nor covetous. Those who always desire more and are so eager for gain that they will stop at nothing to have it. As you study the Old Testament law and you study Romans 7, you learn when the Lord said, "Thou shalt not covet," he included lustfulness, lusting after another man's wife, lusting after another man's house, another man's truck, another man's job, and so on. Lustfulness is here rebuked. But then drunkards, those, of course, guilty of consuming strong drink, fermented drink, and being drunken by that wicked drink, even the bottle, liquor, whiskey, beer, you name it, all of it is wrong before God. Nor revilers, those with abusive tongues, people who are prone to mischief in their speech. Then he says, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. The extortioners are those that plunder the unsuspecting and seize by force what is not rightfully theirs. Now, this list contained in verses 9 and 10 gives us the former conversation, or what the saints used to be. They were guilty of being all of the above. However, These Christians have been made new by the grace of God and washed clean by the blood of Christ. And now we see the full conversion of the sinner. Notice how verse 11 opens, "And such were some of you." Here is the sinner's glorious transformation. The key word here is were. "Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified." Here is the Savior's gracious intervention. But, he says, three times he says, but, that divine intervention of the grace of our God in the glorious transformation of the sinner, and those who were once a part of that abominable list are now marked off from that list, transferred to the very list of the redeemed ones of God. They're washed. They're sanctified. They're justified. Hallelujah. They are made brand new, being the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ, having received a new nature, having received a new culture, having received a new future, and Christ has made the difference. Yea, the cross has brought that division between them and the world. It is no wonder Paul would proclaim in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." God intervenes through conversion. "Such were some of you." God intervenes through salvation, but ye are washed. God intervenes through sanctification, but ye are sanctified. God intervenes through justification, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so let stop off here. We'll come back, the Lord willing, and look at each of these means of intervention individually, and trust that the Lord will bless us in this study. But brethren, we encourage you, seek out the old paths and walk therein. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.